pleasure to be in the church. If you'll open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, today I want to dive a little into generosity, kind of what it means as a church, what it looks like between brothers and sisters, between churches, how we can share and where the source of that generosity and abundance comes from in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1, we read, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God granted to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe testing by affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed into the wealth of their generosity. I testify that on their own, according to their ability, and even beyond their ability, they begged us insistently for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. And not just as we had hoped, instead they gave themselves especially to the Lord, then to us by God's will." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this word that you give to us as a guidance, this teaching that we can learn from, that we can apply in our lives, that we can be reminded of the things that you give us and that you want us to do. So please give us open hearts to the truth today. Lord, let the truth flow and let us all learn something that we can take home and come closer to you in our relationship, God. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, we see a fantastic example of a church remaining faithful to the Lord despite the challenges that they face. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, who he thinks could use some encouragement when it comes to giving, especially in bridging the gap between the idea of giving and the action of giving. As we know, faith without works means nothing. We have to have both. In verse 1, Paul indicates right at the beginning that his message is about God's grace at work in the Macedonian church. He wants to make it clear that the root of their actions and their generosity is from the grace of God. Through the example of Jesus' sacrifice, we can emulate his character of complete sacrifice. Paul is telling us that he's not talking about what the Macedonians are doing. He's not talking about the money that they're giving. He's not using them as any kind of physical example. He's talking about the grace of God at work in the Macedonian church. In verse 2, we read that their affliction allowed them to prove their devotion to God. Their joy was greater because of their affliction, and their generosity was greater because of their poverty. Generosity can only come from those with an abundance of something. The Macedonians had an abundance of joy and poverty, which flowed into their generosity. In this same way, the things the Lord blesses us with in abundance are meant to be shared. We know that God blesses us with abundant grace, so we must show grace to others. We know that the Lord forgives us abundantly every day of our lives, and so we must show forgiveness to those who wrong us in our lives. We can be certain that working for the Lord will be difficult, but it will result in the highest reward that we can attain. The Macedonian church had to struggle from afflictions and poverty, but they understood that the situation they were in was an opportunity from the Lord, and that they could take the opportunity to increase their joy in giving. A lot of times people are held back by the situations in life or things they're going through, and we know, as we've talked about many times in this church, that the Lord doesn't call us to an easy life. He calls us to a life of work, a life of labor in his work, because there's a lot of work to be done. There's a big harvest to be had, and someone has to work really hard to get that, and that's us. That's us who he's calling to do. In the Great Commission, we know that we're called to make disciples. We're called to reap and collect those souls. It was really beautiful that that scripture from Ecclesiastes that Mandy shared, because, you know, it's exactly what we're talking about, that how big of a shame it is that someone could need help and not have it, that someone could fall and not have someone there to help them up, you know, and that's who we are. That's who we're called to be. You know, it's just beautiful to know that in the sweet by and by when we get there, that we'll have known that we did everything we could do to show those around us the right way so that we could all go there together, you know, because that really should be the source of everything in our lives. The source of the love in our heart is that desire to take everybody we can with us and not let anyone perish here in the world. In verse 3, we see that the Macedonian church did not come up with the idea of giving. They merely made the decision to follow the Lord's guidance. We must seek the Lord's work and join in it. We can't decide what needs to be done in the Lord's kingdom and then ask for his blessing. That's backwards and will inevitably lead to time lost pursuing objectives that don't line up with God's. We have to get it right from the start. This is a concept that we've been talking about in the Wednesday night Bible studies, that our lives need to be completely devoted to God. And the very first step we need to do is forget our intentions, forget what we want to do, forget what we have going on, and seek the Lord and what he's doing around us. And then once we've built a relationship with him that's intimate, that's personal, and that we can see his character, we can see his intentions with those around us, then we can start to identify ourselves with how he wants us to be a part of that. If we try to come up with ideas, come up with things, come up with plans, come up with methods as an individual or as a church, and then we seek the Lord's permission to do that or the Lord's blessing to do that, that's backwards of what we need to be doing, because then that's rooted in ourselves rather than rooted, like it is with the Macedonians, in the grace of the Lord. We need to find where the Lord's grace can be used in those around us and then identify what we need to do with that. The Lord placed on their hearts the desire to help the churches in Jerusalem who were suffering from terrible poverty. Even though they were in poverty themselves, the Corinthians, they begged to be allowed to have the blessing of sharing their resources with another church. Our abundance has to be made available to those who need it now. God doesn't want us to store up wealth because it leads to greed and dependence on our wealth. Our primary concern should be to look for those who need what we have and not to add more to what we have already. This doesn't mean that we should intentionally have nothing or that we shouldn't be good stewards of our money, but as Jesus was made poor for our sake, so we must forget what we want to do and instead consider God's intentions for those around us. In the same way Jesus commended the old lady who gave everything she had to live on as an offering to the Lord, he will be happy to know that we also put in everything in his hands so he can do his will with it. In verse 5, we read that the Macedonian church gave themselves to the Lord before anything else. They knew that the only way for their sacrifice to be genuine was through a genuine relationship with God, in which they could be familiar with his character and in reflecting it in their actions. Once this relationship was established, everything they had could be offered to the churches and the saints around them who needed to share in their resources. And that's kind of the main point of what we're talking about here, is that we need to be able to identify what we have and what God wants to do with it. We need to be able to forget what we want to do and find what God wants to do with it. We need to see the people that have fallen around us that need our help. And that could take any number of different forms. It could be in our time, could be in our resources, our leadership, our methods. I mean, right now I'm here because our pastor is worshiping in another country with another church, because we know that his leadership, you know, he's a fantastic leader, and his family are great leaders, and that they're very effective in the work they do for the Lord. And there's other churches that might need that sometimes. And we're able to give that to other people. We're able to send our pastor, send our brothers, send our people out into the world and help other churches and help other people. And that's really the beautiful thing about this church, is that we're so involved with that. With our brothers, when they're sick or hurting or in need, we're ready to jump out and help them. We're ready to jump out and build each other up. And that's really a beautiful thing. It really shows to me, and it should show to all of us, that we're really close to the Lord and that we're really looking out for each other, trying to build each other up, working to expand his kingdom. And as Pastor Josh said, even though we're doing everything we can and we're doing the best we can, we always need to be looking for more opportunities to do so. You know, the minute we start just kind of getting in a groove and doing what we're doing and not looking for where the Lord wants to work or where he wants to expand or what things he wants us to change what we're already doing, that's when we get stuck and we're veering away from the direction he wants us to go in. We need to always keep our eyes open, keep our hearts open, and keep our relationship strong with him so that we can be guided by him. Stay in his path. Change the things we're already doing. Even if they're good, maybe he wants us to be doing something else. Maybe we're investing our money in something good, but maybe he wants us to change something. It's really important that we keep those opportunities open so that the Lord can do his will with it, not ours. In verse 14 of chapter 8, we read, "At the present time, your surplus is available for their need, so that their abundance may also become available for your need, and there may be equality." There should be a symbiotic relationship between churches that leads to their shared growth. When one church has enough, it gives to the church that doesn't have enough. We aren't able to decide for ourselves when we have enough. That is why it's so important to be close to the Lord and listen to his direction, and especially to follow his direction, even when it seems like we can't even afford to give. In this world, it will always be impossible for people to decide what equality is. But when churches follow the Lord together, they are strengthened together and achieve an equality that makes no sense in an individualistic world, but pleases the Lord through our reflection of Jesus' sacrifice. Again, this is all a reflection in our lives of what Jesus already offered to us, the forgiveness he offered to us, the love he offered to us. This is all us sharing that with the people around us. There's no point in having ourselves filled with love and filled with forgiveness and filled with mercy and grace when we don't show that to the people around us, in our work, in our school, in our communities. If it's stored up within us, no abundance of wealth will make any difference in the Lord's work. It needs to be put out there. It needs to be used. It needs to be made effective in the world. The attitude of giving that Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to have applies to many areas of the church and the Christian life. The daily sacrifice of ourself in order to make room for God to work in our lives makes us great tools in the Lord's kingdom. Presenting our bodies as living sacrifices and the fruits of our labor to the Lord indicates total devotion, which is necessary for our lives to be completely transformed. There are no partial transformations. If we intend to follow the Lord the way that the Lord has prepared, we must be fully committed. We must consider what the Lord wants with everything we have, as individuals and as a church. We have to give him our time, our labor, our relationships, our friendships, anything that he could use to grow his kingdom. And if it doesn't grow his kingdom, then we probably shouldn't be invested in it anyway. Like the Macedonians, we must give according to our ability and even beyond our ability when it is needed to complete the work that the Lord is doing. We read that in our Bible study as well, that we can be limited by our own perceptions of what is even possible. We can think, we don't have enough money to do that, or we don't have the resources to do that, or we don't have enough people to do that. As a church, as people in our lives, we can think of all these things that we can't do. But if you read there in chapter 8, I think verse 8, it says that they didn't give according to what they didn't have. They gave according to what they had, regardless of what they had. They gave what the Lord was calling for them to give. So we must look for what the Lord is calling us to give, not from what we have, but what he can make possible to happen. And it could be completely impossible from our perspective, but again, we're identifying ourselves, we're transforming our minds to align with the Lord's, to see what he knows is possible and what he wants to make possible in the world, regardless of our own inhibitions or our own limits that we have. It's not about us, it's about him and what he can do with us. The early churches gave up their resources and their leadership when other churches needed them. We must also keep an eye out at all times to see what the needs are around us, and we must build relationships with fellow churches and fellow brothers so that the Lord can fill our needs with their abundance. The only way we can know where the Lord needs our lives to be used is to be involved with the people around us and to identify what the Lord wants to accomplish in them and through them. We have to be able to identify the Lord's needs in other people. We have to identify his intentions with other people so that we can take from our abundance, so we can share from our abundance that he's given us so freely, the grace, the love, the forgiveness. And in the same way, when we're needing, when we're lacking, the Lord will make that available to us through other churches. And that's the beauty of the relationship, that it builds together. It creates a community. It creates a network, all together in the same direction. Like I said, equality is such a difficult thing to measure because everyone has a different idea of what equality is, of how much one person should have. It's a big problem in the political world now. And it's so impossible to legislate that, and it's impossible to get people to agree on any type of equality. But as Christians, we can all agree on the equality of our status as a creation under the Lord. We can agree on who we are and what our direction should be. That should be the concrete that holds us together as Christians. The fact that we serve the same Lord who has the same intentions everywhere in the world. And I've been to many different churches in different countries, and it's really beautiful when you see that. Anyone that travels, you know that. That all around the world, different cultures, different languages, there's people serving the Lord in the same way, seeking his will in the same way, reading the same word that we have in different languages. And it really expands your mind as to what the Lord can do, what he's willing to do, what he wants to do. And it's really a beautiful thing. But it just requires a lot of sacrifice. It requires us to give up, again, our idea of, if we lose this leader, how are we going to keep going? You know, we're going to be weaker as a church if we lose this leadership, if we lose these resources. How are we going to keep things together? But that's our limits that we're thinking about. We're not thinking about what the Lord can do. We're not thinking about how he can fill us even more despite what we want to sacrifice. If anything, he will return it to us even greater, even if it's not in the same way. If we don't get that money back, if we don't get another leader back the same quality, he will fill us up and make it possible for us to continue despite the sacrifices that we make. And if anything, it would only hold us back if we try to store that wealth within ourselves. You know, there's plenty of examples in the Bible of the Lord, of Jesus, talking to people and saying, you need to give up what you have because you're holding on to it and it's holding you back from what you need to do. We need to keep our eyes open. The worship team can come up. I've just noticed a lot recently that generosity is such a beautiful thing in relationships with people. You know, you can really tell when someone has forgiveness that they're willing to offer. It's just so unfortunate, so many families and relationships where you see people lack that abundance because they haven't built that in themselves. They haven't built that relationship with God, so they're not able to give that fruit. They're not able to share that forgiveness. They're not able to share that love, that mercy, that grace to others around them. And it really tears churches apart, tears relationships apart, tears families apart. We have to build ourselves up in the Lord, build our personal relationship, offer ourselves personally to him first, and through that sacrifice, through that loving relationship with God, he will fill us, and then we can fill those around us who need us. We can help those up who have fallen, who need our help. And it really becomes a very beautiful, it becomes a beautiful situation for all of us to be able to sit around and just see the love of the Lord working around us, to experience that in ourselves when we make a mistake and we are forgiven, when we are shown grace by others, when we are helped when we're in need, because the people around us, again, are filled with the abundance and they are able to give that to us. They're able to help us out of situations that we don't want to be in. So let's just praise the Lord, church. Keep following him. Our church is succeeding so greatly and it's involved in so many fantastic things, and it's really incredible to see how far the reaches of this church. It looks like I saw in the bulletin we're going to be starting a community outreach program with Mark Schwartz, and that's incredible. And again, let's just always look for opportunities to increase that. The altars are open if anyone wants to come pray.